Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi everybody, and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com, and this is my little journey into the world of photography and sort of a journal of me trying to become a better photographer and sharing that with everybody else. But first, a word from our sponsors. If I'm getting used to this by now, I'm getting sick of it by now. GoToMeeting. Now, I know previously I've talked about GoToMeeting and said, you know, it's for conference calls and things like that. But it's more than that. Imagine you just want to do a one-to-one with somebody. You just want to show somebody something on your computer, on your screen, and they're hundreds of miles away. Or maybe they're just across town. Maybe they're in a different country. And, you know, you tried the phone call and you're trying to explain it. You know, this is how these photographs look like. Or perhaps, you know, these are some plans for architecture, or this is the schedule for something, and you know, and you've done the whole thing, you know, your email backwards and forwards, you're using Instant Messenger, all this sort of stuff, and you can, it just seems to take forever and ever and ever. Where if you're using GoToMeeting, you're talking to the person over voice over IP, just like Skype, and but they can also see your computer screen. You just say, look, go to GoToMeeting.com, here's the meeting ID, they log in and bang, they can see what's on your computer screen. So you can show them that schedule, you can show them the photographs, you can show them those plans. So if you think, yeah, this is something that maybe I could use in my personal life, maybe this is something I could use in my business life, maybe this is something our business could use to save money in terms of travel costs, time costs, and productivity, all you've got to do is go to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast and sign up for their free trial for 30 days. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. Right, that's the sponsor out of the way. On with the show. So what have I been up to this week? Well, what have I been up? Oh, went for a nice little, I guess it's like a photo safari. I don't know about you, but I'm really busy at work at the moment. Really, really busy. Working 6 days a week. I know you said, "Ah, you've got a day off." Well, anyway, working 6 days a week, and don't get as much time as I've got had previously to go out and take photographs. You've got to take every opportunity you can. And I can't remember what day was. What day did I have off? Might have been, I think it was Wednesday. I had off. I was doing lots of things around the house, tidying up the loft. You know, doing chores and DIY, all that sort of good stuff that you've got to catch up on when you've been working all the time. And then, but I had a little bit of time in the early evening. I had about an hour, and I thought, do I grab my camera and go out and shoot somewhere? But I was, I've got to the point now where you know I'm doing the 2010 projects, where I'm doing all about the fortifications of Gosport and that sort of stuff, and I really need to sit down, look at the shots I've taken, and decide what photographs I want to take next. And I haven't done that yet, so I was thinking, I couldn't really think of somewhere I was going to go and shoot. And it wasn't quite yet, the sun wasn't quite low enough to get some really nice sunset photographs down at the beach. So I thought, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go in the garden. I'm just going to grab my camera, grab my 350D. I'm going to put the 135mm M42 Helios, I think it is, the f2.8 lens, which is an old film lens off a film SLR that has a screw mount on it. And then I have a little adapter, which means that I can use it on the bayonet mount that the Canon takes. And then what I do is, so I can get those macro shots where I get in very, very close, I have some extension tubes. And you can buy extension tubes for all sorts of cameras, and modern digital cameras, modern lenses as well. But the problem, obviously, is with modern digital lenses that have all the electronics in them, you have to have special extenders that transfer those electronics from the lens into the camera and backwards and forwards. Whereas if you use old manual M42 lenses, where you change the aperture by swirling the turning the aperture ring or focus by turning the focus ring, you can use manual. You can use manual extension tubes, which you just screw them on, and all they do is literally push the lens away from the camera. It's a bit like having a projector, you know, and you're projecting something on the screen, and to make the picture bigger, you just you move the projector back, or you move the screen further away. That's all it does, and it's sort of, so it's blowing up the picture in front of you. What it means is you can get quite nice macro shots, but there's a bit of a trade-off, because your depth of field can be very, very narrow. And also, you lose quite a bit of light as well when you're using extension tubes. What I mean by that is, not all the light is falling onto your digital sensor or your film sensor if you're shooting film, because you're only seeing a part of the image. So instead of being able to shoot at, say, 150, if you put your extension tubes on and it goes down to, your shutter speed goes down to, say, 125th of the second. And when you're shooting macro or any sort of shot where you're blowing up the image, any camera shake gets amplified, or subject movement gets amplified. So the best way I found of taking shots like that is simply to use my pop-up flash on my 350D, and I set the camera so it's running in aperture priority mode, and it just shoots at 1/200th of a second, and the flash then illuminates and freezes almost all of the action. And gives you quite nice exposures, and for some strange reason it just tends to work. You know, I don't really have that much problems, because what you're trying to do is you're focused by moving the camera backwards and forwards when you're using the extension tubes instead of really using the focus ring, and then to get a decent depth of field so that you know, at least some of the subject is in focus, you tighten up the aperture, so you go from like f/2.8 round to I don't know, f/8 or something like that, and what tends to happen is the flash still works very well and illuminates the subject very, very well, because all you're really controlling by changing the aperture is the ambient light that's already there. You're letting less ambient light in, because when the flash pops, although the shutter's firing at 200th of a second, the flash is only is popping for like, you know, 1/1000th of a second or something silly like that. So changing the aperture doesn't actually change the amount of light coming into the camera from the flash, it just does the ambient light, but it does extend your depth of field. So yeah, and there's a few pictures up on my Flickr photo stream you might have seen, and there's one of like a we've got this little garden ornament thing, this sort of Japanese lady, and she's looking through the foliage. I thought it looked quite cool. And there's one of a bee on a flower, which I thought was quite nice, because I actually managed to get the bee in focus. And one of this, it wasn't a huge spider in our outside toilet, but it was pretty big. And it's a bit of a shame I didn't get his head in focus. I just got like the back of him or her in focus. But it's quite an interesting shot. And I probably spent, you know, 45 minutes, an hour out in the garden just shooting various stuff. Probably took, you know, 50, 60 photographs, and those were the best three. So there we go. You know, if you've got a spare half an hour, you know, grab your camera, especially for macro work, get out in the garden and just start shooting. And remember that flash trick of using flash when you're going in close, or anywhere where the light might not be that good, works for every single type of camera. I know with my Fujifilm S5700 bridge camera, using force flash always is a good thing, because that flash freezes subject motion like insects, and also helps to eliminate camera shake. But it also brings out the colours as well, because if you say you're photographing in the morning or in the afternoon, the sun's gone down and your garden's in shadow, all the colours will tend to be fairly drab, but by using flash you kind of make everything pop, and it makes everything look really good too. So that was quite good. What I've also done is, if you check out my YouTube channel, the scale speed, I'll put some links in the show notes over at robinandphoto.com. I've been uploading a load of videos. I've done a load of book review videos from books I've had recently, like the From the Front book that I talked about quite a while ago, the Henri Cartier-Bresson Modern Century book review. There's a book called Orbit, The Americans, there's a video of that. And there's a quick look at the Minolta Dynex 7000i film SLR and my Lowepro Flipside 400 camera bag. And what you'll find is those videos will slowly be finding their way over onto robnarphoto.com, the blog. But if you want a sneak peek first, you can always nip over to my YouTube channel and check them out. The video quality isn't great because what I actually did as an experiment, I used my mobile phone, my Android HTC Desire, to record some of the videos because it was just quicker doing it that way than recording it with my Fujifilm and then taking it into Adobe Premiere, adding the titles and then uploading it. And I just wanted to have a go to see if it would be any good. The other thing as well, I guess, it is photography related, been having a discussion with old Mike over at the Film Photographer podcast, just telling him, you know, keep up the good work. And if I know I've probably talked about it on every single podcast for the last month, but it really is a great fun podcast. The guys that do it, Mike and Dwayne, they're just great guys. It's just a real pleasure to listen to. Even if you're not into film photography. And what I'm going to be doing for those guys is writing up their show notes, which really is writing up the links for what they're talking about, which is a pleasure because it makes me feel like I'm sort of part of the team, and it enables me to give something back to their podcast, which I think is really, really good. And when you come across, it's really hard, you know. I mean, I enjoy doing the SEL podcast because I enjoy talking about photography for, you know, half an hour every week. It kind of gets me fired up. It gives me a reason to go out and shoot. It allows me to reflect on what I've done and what I should be doing. And you know, the interactions in the group, you know, in our Flickr pool with all the photographs and all the things that people are doing, you know, it keeps me fired up because it's very easy in you know, the modern world to become distracted, isn't it, where, you know, you forget to have fun. You know, I think everybody has to have a hobby, and photography is a hobby and a passion of mine. And the podcast is definitely a part of that. I can't say how good the SEL Photography podcast is. You know, it is what it is. It's me talking about photography, you know, every week. I don't know, it'll appeal to some and it won't appeal to others. I mean, I'm sure maybe when the shows were a little bit more scripted, like last year, it might have been a little bit better, where now I tend to just ramble on and talk about things because of time constraints. I don't have enough time to write a script before, but I still enjoy doing it, and I really love the interactions I get with everybody, and I wouldn't stop doing it, you know, for the world. You know, it's really, really good fun. And what the guys have created over at the Film Photography podcast, though, is something that is it's great to listen to, and it's so much better than lots of other photography podcasts out there, including this one, because there's this great interactions between the Dwayne and Mike who do it, and they have, especially Dwayne, with his encyclopedic knowledge of film technique and films and everything, is a pleasure to listen to, and it's funny as well, which is a good one. Anyway, so I'm going to be doing the show notes to sort of help them out, so doing that. And obviously, today being Sunday, it's been incredibly hot in the UK recently, incredibly hot. We're talking 30 degrees, which is very, very warm, and I've been at work all day today doing stock, and it's just been incredibly hot, so I'm just cracking open a Pepsi. I'm just going to take a quick sip just to cool myself down. Excuse me for being so rude, but it is very warm in our little spare room here. So, as I was saying, today is a Sunday, car boot sale day, and I got just what I was looking for today. Well, what was that, you might ask? Well, I got, I'll start with the stuff I got last, actually. I got, for the princely price of £8, a Patterson Tank System 4. I haven't done any research on it yet, but what it is, I think, is a, it's like, how can I describe it? It's like a flap, it's like a big yoghurt pot, with like these spool holders inside. And I think what you do is, when you've shot your 35mm film in your camera, or, he says, looking on the bottom of it, your 110 film or 127 or 120-220 film. You can put it onto these spools, I guess. I don't know how you'd fit the larger format film on, but I guess you put the spools together or something. I have to find some instructions. And then you put your developer in there, or your fixer, or however it is. I know nothing about developing 35mm film. And that's your trays sort of thing for developing 35mm film. So that's cool. So that's sort of one step closer to me having a developing my own film. And to go with it, for the £8, I also got this rather natty dark bag, are they called, or changing bag. And what it is, it's like this big black nylon bag with a zip at one end that you can open up, and then at the other end it's got like these elasticated cuffs that you put your hands through. So I guess what you do is you when you want to work in the dark, when you're like taking your film out of the canisters and the spools and loading it up, you need to do it in complete darkness. And unless you've got a dark room, these bags are the closest thing. So I guess what you do is you put your film inside, you zip it up, and you put your hands inside these cuffs, and then you can work on stuff in complete darkness. Well, you're not in complete darkness, the stuff is, and because these cuffs are elasticated, they're not letting any light in, so you can do what you've got to do without fear of getting light leaks and spoiling the film. So that's another thing for developing my own film. And then I also got the same car boot sale a really nice photography book called The Art of Photography, 1839 to 1989. And what this is, it was produced to accompany a exhibition by the same name about the history of photography. And it's fantastic. It's printed and beautiful. Oh, it cost me £1, by the way. It's just got loads of famous photographs by some of the best photographers in the world, like people like Edward Weston. Who else have we got? Who people recognise? Agite, Henri Cartier-Bresson, Capa, Walker Evans, Friedlander, Minor White, Eggleston, Davies, McCullen, Penn, Irving Penn, is it? David Bailey, Andy Warhol, just loads and loads of beautiful prints, colour and black and white. I mean, and this book is massive. It's 465 pages long. I mean, God knows how much it must have cost, wouldn't it? Has it got a price on it? Let's have a look. So I paid £1 for it. And how much did it cost originally? Probably hasn't got a price in, but I bet it was a fortune. Yeah, you know a book's expensive when it doesn't even have a price. But it was produced by the Royal Academy of Arts, and it is fantastic. I can't wait to really have a look at all these photographs. Stieglitz, excellent, you know, fantastic stuff. Loads of his photographs, nice big A4 prints as well, very very nice. So that's good. And then finally, the thing that I really wanted, I got at the first car boot. We go to two car boot sales normally every Sunday. We go to one at Bridgemary, which is just around the corner from where we live, and then we go to one up at Titchfield, which is a bit smaller but a bit posher. At Bridgemary it's all tattoos and football shirts, where at Titchfield it's a bit more, you know, people actually put like tablecloths on the tables where they're selling stuff. And I guess I should really explain what a car boot sale, for people who don't live in the UK, is where people get all their junk that they've been having in their garages or in their lofts, or they're about to take it down the amenity tip and throw it away, but they don't. They pile it in their car, they drive to a local field somewhere, maybe it's at a school, on a school playing field or in a farmer's field, and they all park up and they have pace tables and everybody piles all their wares up, and you go around paying very little money for lots of different stuff. I mean, most of it's junk, but as you can imagine, especially when people are clearing out things like lofts, there can be some quite good camera equipment. And in fact, I think all of my film equipment has come from car boot sales. Stuff like the SRT-101, the Canon EOS 50E, all my Praktikas, all my M42 lenses, all that sort of stuff has come from the car boot sale. And I've been brainwashed again. I'm bringing it up again. Brainwashed by the film photography blog. And one of the things that Mike's always waffling on about is Polaroid photography, instant photography. And I was looking in the loft the other day for our old... We did have a Polaroid 600 camera. I'm sure we did. That we bought years ago. You know, used it for a bit. And then basically digital came along. So we started using a little Kodak digital camera. But I couldn't find it. And I thought, you know, I really fancy having another go at instant photography. And I did a bit of research online. And lo and behold, and from what they've said... on the Film Photography Podcast, Fujifilm still makes instant cameras. They make the Instax series of cameras. They make the Instax 210, which is a big old camera, and they make the Instax Mini, which is also the Polaroid 300. And I was looking at the prices, and they're expensive on eBay, the Minis and stuff. But I knew I'd seen Fujifilm Instax 200 cameras at the car boot sale. You can't miss it. It's a huge camera, massive. It's about the size of a paperback book with this big sort of lens housing on the front. And I saw one today. So I wonder, you know, you can see it from like, you know, 20 feet away. You can see, you know, when somebody's got one of these on their stalls. And I went straight over, thought, this is exactly what I'm after. Because Fujifilm, they still make the cameras, but they still make the film as well to go in them. So you can get fresh film for, I mean, it's still not cheap. I think it's like £15, is it, for 20 exposures or 10 exposures or something. But I fancied having a go. So anyway, I saw it over there, went over there, had to play with it, it looked fine. I said to the lady, I said, oh, is this one of those Polaroid cameras? She said, yes, I got it for the birth of our baby a few years ago, but we haven't really used it since. I said, does it take nice photographs? She said, yes. I said, does it work? She said, yes. So then I said, well, how much would you like for it? She said, £1. So £1, so that's about $1.50 US, I think, or something silly. So obviously, I bought it off her. Took it home, and lo and behold, it definitely works, because when you turn it on, you get this sound. There we go, that's the lens popping out. And then when you press the shutter, you get this sound. So it works. So what is it? Well, it takes these cassettes of film, Fujifilm film. It's got a 95mm lens on, it's a fixed focus lens, which sort of means that it has two settings. It has one setting on 0.9 to 3 meters, so I guess when you're taking pictures of people, mostly you'll use that setting. And there's a little button you press to make it do that. Then it's got another button for 3 meters to infinity, so I guess that's for your landscape shots. And then it's got basic exposure compensation. You can make the picture lighter normal, or you can darken it. And then it's got like a flash button, so I guess you can have force flash or fill flash. And it has a little viewfinder, and I'll say again, it's massive. It's a massive camera. But yeah, I've got one, so I just need to get some film for it now. And I'm really chuffed. I got it. Fujifilm Instax 200 camera. So there you go. So if anybody's got any old Fujifilm Instax film that fancy donating to the SEL Photography Podcast, drop me a line and I'll pay you the postage to do it that way. Phew, so there we go. That's about it for this week. I'm kind of one step closer to developing my own sort of film, because I've got this canister and this dark bag. And at the same time, I'm going to be exploring instant film with the Fujifilm Instax 200, and yet also at the same time I'm exploring, you know, macro photography and close-up photography with my 350D and the old M42 lenses. Really good, really enjoying all these different aspects of photography. But I feel I do need to get a little bit more on track with the projects for 2010, because we're into the last half of the year now, aren't we? And it's all going to be rolling up pretty soon. Okay, so thanks everybody for taking part in the Flickr forum and dropping their photos and their discussions in there. Thanks for everybody for commenting on the robnonphoto.com, especially for the people who have been making PayPal donations and subscribing, a small little $5 a month subscription. That helps an awful lot to go towards the host. Well, basically, it helps me pay for the hosting bills for the site and the podcast. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who record. Sorry. Everyday Jones, who their music is the intro and outro music, and you can find their stuff for free download at podsafeaudio.com. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnanphoto.com. You can email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com. Show notes over at robnanphoto.com. Thanks for listening, and pretty soon, hopefully, I'll be seeing you on Flickr.